for argument is 21-1025, O'Keefe's, Inc. v. Hirschfeld. Mr. Bielan.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Not to waste a lot of time, I'd like to rely on the brief of appellant and the reply brief with a few comments on certain aspects of the argument. The word unit has been interpreted to mean something that may be separated into two parts. And I think it's perfectly clear from the patent language of the 709 patent that unit means a whole entity. It has two parts. One part is a structural glass on the top, and the other part is a fire-rated glass at the bottom, and they're connected to form a whole entity. The adjusting mechanism described in the patent and in the claims of the patent are shown to, or described, to move the unit as a whole up and down. This would not be possible if they were separated. They have to be one piece, a whole entity. I refer specifically to column 3, lines 23 through 30, and column 4, lines 5 through 9 of the 709 patent to support that. Secondly, I'd like to talk about the Ray patent. That has been interpreted by the board to be a unit rather than two separate pieces, which it actually is. Ray includes an upper layer of structural glass.
Can I ask you for just some clarification? If this is the argument that I'm recalling from the briefs was made, the board had the PTO had a bunch of responses to that argument about the two layers not moving as a unit. And at least one of those was the point pointing out that Ray does disclose, at least there's an embodiment in Ray, in which a two-layer glass covering has no gap between the layers. Are you understanding what I'm asking about? Do you recall their argument about that?
Yes, I do. I think they're referring to Fig. 5 of the Ray patent.
Okay. And why? Even if you're right, which they're not agreeing that you're right, that that's necessarily required. But why doesn't that satisfy your concern?
Well, Fig. 5 of Ray is another embodiment, their second embodiment, as it's described. And if you look at Fig. 5, you'll see that there is a space apart from the two layers, the structural glass layer and the fire-rated glass layer. And it's also described in the text of the Ray patent, column 7, lines 18 through 20, as being spaced apart. They're not touching. They don't move apart.
I'm sorry, this is Judge Krause. Sorry to interrupt, but what is it in the language of the claims that forecloses separated layers? What is their glass floor unit? Why are separated layers foreclosed by that language? Anything in the spec you can point me to?
Are you talking about the 709 patent, Your Honor?
Yeah, I think.
Yes.
Well, if you look at the description, as I said before, let me go back. Column 3, lines 23 through 30, describes how the unit moves by turning the adjustment. And it goes up and down. If they weren't a single unit, it wouldn't raise the unit as a unit. Only one layer would go. also that's described on column 4, lines 5 through 9.
Why can't a layer be treated as a unit?
Well, it could be if it's described in the patent as the unit, but it's not. The unit is described in the patent as having two layers, two components.
Doesn't it refer to glass floor units 14 and 16?
Well, 14 and 16, correct, yes.
They're referred to as units.
Two different units.
It's like line 25, column 3, line 25 refers to them as units, not a single unit.
I didn't catch that. Can you please repeat that?
I was just trying to understand your argument. I was just noting that column 3, line 25 refers to these elements that you're referring to as layers. It in fact refers to them as units, which would seem to undermine your unit argument as respect to the claims.
Column 3 refers to the glass floor units 14 and 16.
Yes.
And if you go back to the description of what the unit consists of, it has two components. Each unit, 14 and 16, has two components. The glass floor unit has the upper portion of the durable construction and the bottom portion being fire-rated glass. That forms an unit. The reason for that is because you walk on the top part when the glass floor is installed, and the bottom part, the fire-rated component, protects against fires from below going up to the upper portion. That's why that is the case. But it's described as a unit. Unit means one. It's one unit, it's a whole. That's what it says in the dictionary. Unit is a whole. On the other hand, the Ray patent describes layers that are separated by a load transfer means. That's the whole gist of the Ray patent, is to have, excuse me.
Please proceed.
Okay. Is to have a load transfer means that takes the weight of the structural glass on the top and transfers it down to the support below, being the building below, bypassing the fire-rated glass. They don't want any weight on that fire-rated glass. And Fig 5 has that, the one supposedly shows a unitary structure, but it's not a unitary structure. It's separated, as described in the specification of the Ray patent. And it's supported by a box, a steel box, which is the load transfer means. As part of the second embodiment of Ray, which is described in the specification as having a load transfer means and a separation of the two layers.
Do you want to address the hat channel limitation in this case?
Yeah, the hat channel is really important. The use of the claimed device or mechanism in the 709 patent is that it is installed, the adjustment mechanism is installed after installation of the floor units. And you have to get down into that void to position and adjust the adjustment mechanism. You have to have a hat channel, something that's removable, so you can get down there. That's what allows it to be used in that manner. I don't believe that is shown by any of our references. It's certainly not in Ray, and I don't believe it's in the German patents either, because the German patents, to get to the screw mechanism on the two German patents, you have to remove the floor as well as a bunch of other things. There are profiles that have to be removed.
Well, the limitation in the proposed substitute claim 13 that deals with hat channel does not say anything, as I read it, about what you need to remove. It simply says that the hat channel is removably positioned over the adjuster. Why does the difficulty or elaborate nature of the removal process matter for purposes of that limitation?
Well, if you can't get to the adjustment mechanism below, you can't adjust the force.
Well, but the board says, well, you can, and Mr. McFarland says you can. It just might be a little bit more laborious a process than in your concept of what the claim ought to be directed to, right?
Well, if you remove the floor, yes, I agree. But we don't have to remove the floor with the 709 patent.
Right. Why is it that the 709 patent is directed only to a situation in which you don't need to remove the flooring? That limitation says that?
Well, you don't want to remove the floor. Removing the floor is a big job.
Okay.
You want to get to that adjustment mechanism without removing the floor, so that if you want to adjust the walking surface, many times when the floor is installed, it's not level. So you have to go back and say, okay, there's a depression here, there's a hump there. But you can just remove the hat channel, get down to the adjustment mechanism, and adjust the height of the walking surface.
Okay, let me ask you, our time is running short, so I want to make sure that I get a chance to ask you about the support limitation of that claim 13. And in particular, why isn't the board's conclusion that the support in the DE 759 and 230 being the support sheet being rotatable relative to the adjuster, why isn't that established by the German patents? Or at least suggested by the German patents?
I don't think it's suggested or shown. It's simply a jack. And there's nothing in the German patent that says that it is independently rotatable versus the screw portion.
Well, I don't want to get too far afield from the technology here, but I have a car jack which has a top that is rotatable independent of the screw. So why is that not consistent with, or at least not inconsistent with the construction of the device shown in the two German patents?
Well, that's wonderful, but it wasn't cited by the board as being part of the prior art. Maybe that would have been a better argument had they cited your prior
No, patent. No, but the German patents, you said they have a jack, and it doesn't seem to me that it's inherent in a jack that the top of the jack cannot rotate independently of the screw.
From your own experience, obviously, there is a car jack that does do that, but it's not described in the German patent as such. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Thank you. You're into your rebuttal time, so do you want to save the remainder and we'll hear from the other side?
I'd like to hear the argument of my opponent.
Great.
And then 2 minutes for rebuttal, is it, Your Honor?
Yeah, you've got almost that left.
Wait.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we're assuming you can hear Mr. Bielan and Mr. Foreman. Please proceed.
May it please the court. I'd like to address the three issues that you talked with appellant about. The first is this notion that Ray's separated layers in Figure 3 somehow is fatal to the obviousness case. I think there are a couple responses that we had in our brief, and I think the easiest one is to just look at the other combination that the board pointed to, which is the DE230 plus Ray, where the real difference was that which reference was the primary reference. And so if you look at the two German references, they show two layers of floor together. They show two layers of floor separated with a cavity in between. So it's not that we are limited to looking at rays separated layers in figure three. We have another reference that shows two layers right up against each other with no gap between. As well as rays figure five shows exactly that, no gap between the layers. There's silicone pads between the top layer of glass and the bottom layer of glass, and there's even a cavity in there because there's a raised figure five shows a hollow box in the center, which is item 64. And so that raised figure five looks a lot like what the figures in the patent, the 709 patent, because you have the layers not separated at all, but then with a kind of a cavity in the middle. So beyond that, even if we had to look at Ray's figure three and that was all we had, the argument that, well, a skilled artisan can only put the height adjustment mechanism between the two layers presupposes that there could be no other modifications made. And that's just not the law of obviousness. A skilled artisan would be able to modify Ray in such a way to reach the claimed invention. This is not, I don't think, you know, deciding whether you have two layers separated or two layers abutting is something that's beyond one of skill in the art. And I think that the argument by appellant is looking for more of a bodily incorporation, which is not the law of obviousness.
Could I turn your attention to the support limitation of the Claim 13? And here, the board did something that I really have trouble understanding. The board did this actually about three or four times. And the one that I'm focusing on is page 119 of the board's opinion, just as an example. They say at the top of 119, previously in connection with Claim 8, we indicated that given the support plate is held by a screw which rotates, this is the talking about the German references, the support plate necessarily rotates with the screw irrespective of how the support plate is attached to the screw. We reach the same determination here. Then no more than three lines after that, they seem to pivot and they say, DE-759 discloses that the screw holds the support plate, and based on that disclosure, as Mr. McFarland explained, support 22 will necessarily either rotate with the screw or rotate independently of the screw. Those two seem to me to be at war with one another. Can you help me understand what the board is doing, or did they just drop the ball?
I think I can't understand
my problem?
Yes, I fully understand
you,
that.
You probably issue. Had to think about this problem as you were preparing for the argument.
Yeah, and I think the most reliable statement here is the one of Mr. McFarland, because that's the one that the board points to and says, Mr.
But
McFarland.
What were they doing saying to... first of all, in your view, is there a way to reconcile the two statements?
It's tough, I think, because, I mean, the issue is really you have a support plate on the screw, and if they're welded together, they're going to rotate together, and if you know, the support plate is threaded through the screw, they can rotate independently.
Or if it's just... Positioned in a like my car jack is,
exactly.
And so, the top of the jack moves.
And
right?
So I'm not sure what the board was doing when it said that the support plate necessarily rotates with the screw.
Should we send it back to ask them to explain?
I don't think so, because I think that we have the expert testimony and we have the board saying specifically that they credit the expert testimony and that they're relying on the expert testimony. Mm-hmm. And the expert testimony is clear that you're either going to have it one way or the other, and that either of them, from the German references, either of them would be obvious in this view. I mean, this idea that it has to be exactly, it has to show it exactly, I think is not correct. I think that as long as the German references suggest either one, either way, and that's enough for obviousness.
One point about the German references, and they both have this, is that, and I believe this is on like page 3 of the DE 759, in addition to using the verb held, or hold, I think it's held, the page 4, at appendix 486, this is DE 759, says in the first carryover paragraph from 3, that the screw head is configured to form a support plate. Now that suggests to me that if screw head is being used in the sense that we would use it in English, I don't know if it needs something different in German, but in English that would suggest that the screw head is an integral part of the screw, as would be the case in, let's say, a screw or bolt that has a head on it, in which case it would not rotate independently. What do you make of that language in the DE 759 and 230?
Well, I think first of all, and this is probably not going to satisfy you, that no one really points to this language one way or the other. The board, I don't believe appellant is relying on this language, and certainly I don't think the board addresses it. I think that just looking at the language itself, I don't think it's specific enough to really firmly conclude that these two pieces are integral, or that you know there's a weld between them. I think as you gave the example of your car jack, the support plate could be sitting on top and still be
held. It could be held, I guess.
It could be held and still be rotatable in relation to the screw. I think that.
Do you think that if we were to conclude that the German references show, at least specifically show, only a non-rotatable support, that there would nonetheless be reasonable to infer that they suggest that the support could rotate?
Yes, I think that the expert's testimony certainly supports that, and you know the fact that we're having to kind of look parse this language and think about it implies that it's not clearly shown one way or the other. And I think that and even if you found that it's more likely than not that these two are immovably attached, I think it's still a matter of design choice here, and it's not enough of a difference to have these claims patentable over the German references.
Now if the plate in the German reference were rotatable only with the screw and not independently of the screw, I'm wondering about how this may be sort of outside of the realm of what was specifically addressed, but it's hard for me to see exactly how that would function, because what would happen is you have this plate which is pressing up against a very heavy floor, and the only way it could move is to move like this, which, in other words, you see what I'm saying? It would be moving like that, which would seem to me to create an enormous amount of friction. If all it has to do is push up by maintaining its position vis-a-vis the screw as the screw is turning and pushing up, no friction. But this creates friction. Is that a reasonable way to think about what the German patent is teaching?
I think so, and I think I would just go back to this idea that even if you found that the support is immovably held, it's still not enough of a difference here to render the claims patentable. Because, I mean, you're just looking at how you connect a plate to a screw, and more broadly, you know, this height adjustment mechanism is substantially identical to what the patent shows. I mean, you have a threaded receiver with a screw with a support plate that can be raised up and down by twisting the screw, and you know the details of exactly how you know this one piece is connected to the other piece or how that mechanism works, I think is just simply not enough to overturn the obviousness.
What about the hat channel limitation that Judge Prost asked about?
I think that, like you talked about before, that it's just a matter of imprecise or overbroad claim language. I think that the language of the claim 13 could have been written in such a way to say that only the hat channel is removed to do the adjustment, and that's not what the claim language says. And so I think the board was right to say that it's the claim is not limited to only removing the hat channel. If other components need to be removed, then that's still within the claim language. And this idea that it may be too complicated, there's just nothing to support that. And it doesn't really matter, honestly. It's that the hat channel is removed to make the adjustment, and if other components need to be removed, then that's still within the claim.
Okay.
There's nothing further.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bewin, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. We'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal if you need it.
Yeah, I'll be very brief, Your Honor. I just wanted to make sure I note the exact place in the Ray patent where it says the two sheets of glass are spaced apart. And that is on column 7, lines 18 through 20. Okay, and also, I think the board was not quite precise in putting the substitution of the German jack with in place of the steel strip in Ray. I mean, if they just replaced the jack for the steel strip, all you would have is a device that pushes up a silicone spacer between the two floors and a seal on the top. I think they omitted things there, but if you read that specifically, you still don't end up with anything that would move the structural glass layer on top. It would only move the silicone layer between the two structural glass layers shown in fig three of the Ray patent. Other than that, I think I'll rest.
Appreciate that. Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted. That concludes our proceeding for this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.